pa 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 pa.
Hello there, Villa Voice Noters. You might have noticed a little blast of Gino by Dexys Midnight Runners there. Reason being, I've got Dean Saunders in my mind. As you'll have seen by the title of this week's Villa Voice Notes, five things that I need to talk about this week. Dean Saunders is one of them. Now, there's going to be some serious and some less so, and don't worry, you'll get your crap joke at the end of it as well. But the reason that I wanted to speak about Dean Saunders this week, surprise, surprise, is I've been all over reminiscing about the 1994 League Cup final win over Man United. It's obviously 33 years since that great triumph. Where's the time gone? Where's my hair gone? But when I was watching back the highlights on YouTube this week, I must have known this already in my subconscious mind, but it's only with watching it back again that I've noticed how brilliant that assist is from Dino for Dalian Atkinson's opening goal. Just watch the way the ball zipped in by Andy Townsend to Dean Saunders, and he just plays a lovely little flick around the corner first time, falls perfectly into Dalian's path, and as we know, the rest is history. I'm checking the highlights again to double check that ball's actually finally crossed the line, because it took an eternity for Dalian's finish to go into the net. It just got me thinking, were assists even a thing? You know, were they? And I think they're a modern invention, aren't they, in the last 20 years? Because we certainly never used to focus and highlight assists back then. I wonder whether it's the fantasy football thing that's coming, that you obviously score points for assists. And back in my day, assist was something that you used to do with an old woman. Assist is what you used to do to help an old woman across, or help an old lady across the road. But it certainly wasn't subject to the kind of obsession it is now. But just go and watch that back, that little flick around the corner from Dean Saunders. It's really, really special. The second thing that I wanted to mention today was just to pass on best wishes to Gordon Cowans and his family. You may or may not have seen that there was a lot of speculation about Sid in the last couple of days, prompting his family to issue a statement today. It's no secret that Sid's been suffering from dementia. I was lucky enough to see him a couple of weeks ago when I was invited to the Ajax versus Villa screening at Villa Park. He kindly signed an autograph for one of my friends, and One of the highlights of doing Claret and Blue was 2 years ago when we went to Cornwall with Sid and Tony Morley, Dennis Mortimer and Alan Evans to film a podcast with the Cornwall Lions at the Cornwall Lions Club, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Villa winning the European Cup. And Sid, although the illness had started to take a grip on him already by then, was sparkling company, still able to recall some of those wonderful memories from Villa's finest hour. And it'll be an eternal source of pride that he revealed to us on that weekend that he's an avid viewer, listener of the Claret and Blue podcast. So that was something that gave myself and Dan a special buzz. There's been talk about his condition deteriorating in the last couple of days, and it prompted his family to put out a statement just kind of urging Villa fans in the social media world not to speculate. So I don't want to get involved in that speculation. The family have admitted that, you know, that the level of care that he's going to require has been increased as they monitor his condition. But I just wanted to use this platform, if you like, to send my best to Sid and to all his family and to all Villa fans. You know, I think we'd all agree that he'd probably be in the top two Villa players ever, competing with Mr. McGrath, with God himself, about who's number one and who's number two. But not only was Sid a fine player in his day, and also a very, very influential, and also a very, very influential coach at Villa and at Bodymore Heath, but also anybody who's had the pleasure of meeting him will know that he's the loveliest, most humble man. So just to let you know, Sid and family, that we're all thinking of you and we want to send you loads of love. The next thing I wanted to mention was this kind of Ivan Toney obsession that seems to have infected Aston Villa fans over the course of the last week. Now, I'm probably a little bit more chilled out in a sense, because as much as I want Ollie Watkins to get the credit he deserves on an international stage, it'd be a travesty if he doesn't make the England Euro squad, given that he's by far and away, in my mind, and I don't think it's just a Villa bias, he's by far and away the outstanding Villa striker behind Harry Kane at the moment. I've got two thoughts about this, really. I've got mixed thoughts, and as much as Ollie Watkins does deserve his place on in that squad, I've also seen the journey that Villa players have been on before. We've clamoured for them to get England recognition, and that's almost let the cat out of the bag. It's almost paved the way for a move often up the M6 to the northwest to a so-called established elite bigger club. As much as this would break Ollie Watkins' heart, if him missing out on England means that he stays at Villa and gets closer to that becoming Villa's record Premier League goal scorer, and we can live with his, we can match his ambitions and he can match ours, then selfishly, I'm club over country in that sense. But yeah, just seeing Villa Twitter pick over the bones of Tony's record compared to Watkins and stuff like that. Listen, we know it's a mismatch. We know that Watkins is by far the more accomplished player. We're pretty convinced that he should be the man who Southgate chooses. But again, if Villa benefit from it by Watkins staying fresh and staying at the club, then so be it. But it's just amused me seeing the Ivan Tony hate. Speaking of forwards that Villa fans love to hate, another thing, so this would be item number 4 of my 5, another thing that amused me this week was hearing the quotes from Troy Deeney. Whether this has escaped your attention, I don't know, but it's been a bit of a tumbleweed week without the mighty Villa being in action. So this piqued my interest as well. Troy Deeney on TalkSport with Jim White and Simon Jordan, and he was asked by Jim White, would he have ever joined Aston Villa? Then Deeney, that boyhood blue nose, made the revelation that he actually had the opportunity to join Villa back in 2013, 2014. But the reason that the conversation never got any further was because Villa insisted that Deeney had that tattoo of the Blues badge on his leg, had that removed as a condition of the deal. Didn't quite ring true to me, to be honest. But before I used it as another stick to beat Paul Lambert with, Lambert would have been the manager back then, I wanted to do, in another break from tradition, I wanted to do a little bit of journalism. So I got in touch with Paul Faulkner, who was Villa's CEO back then. That would have been his last season as Villa's CEO, 2013-14. I said, Paul, can you just give us some clarification on this? As far as you know, and Paul's heavily involved in a lot of the transfers back then, well, all of the transfers back then, as far as you know, did Villa ever want to sign Troy Deeney in 2013-14? And was the removal of his offending Blues tattoo key to the deal happening or not happening? So, bless him, Paul got back to me straight away and said, sounds like a wind-up. I certainly don't recall ever being interested in him. And the tattoo line is hilarious. So there we go. That's put that one to bed. And finally, the only other thing I wanted to mention today, regular listeners and viewers of Claret and Blue will know the work that Dan Rowlinson puts into this podcast. He's grown it from scratch. He's the creative force behind it. He's the technical force. You know, he's the host with the most, all of these things. And as much as we have a laugh and a joke and I suppose a bit of banter between us, I don't tell him, God, this sounds like a love letter now, Dan, so chill out. But I don't tell him enough how much I appreciate the work that he does and the energy that he brings to this. So I'm saying this because he gets married on Wednesday. It's going to be a rare break from work for him, because even during his holidays and his days off, he's obsessed with making this podcast the best that it can possibly be, along with a lot of other things that he does for us across Midland Sport. So just wanted to wish Dan and Phoebe all the best for Wednesday. Don't worry, this voice notes telegram is not in lieu of me getting you a wedding gift. I will be getting you a wedding gift. Might be a Wi-Fi booster box, spoiler alert. But yeah, just to say, Dan, you know, do take some time out with your family. I know it's been a fairly frenetic kind of last 18 months or so, moving house, you know, getting engaged, welcoming little Wilfred into the world, juggling work and childcare and home life and stuff like that. But yeah, just to say, have a brilliant day. I know you've kindly invited me, so I will be along. If I'm not there to witness the first dance, you'll probably find me at the bar watching the Man City Villa game with your dad, John. But yeah, just an advance kind of best wishes and have a brilliant day. And thanks for inviting us to be part of it. I think that's it. It's been a bit of a scattergun Villa voice notes this week, going in different directions, but don't worry, I did promise that I'd finish with a crap dad joke, and I've written it down somewhere, so if you bear with me, I will find it. Why did the chicken go to the gym? To work on his pecs. Wah, wah, wah. Bye for now. Up the Villa.